Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I can't remember exactly when it happened, but we were still in Wausau, Wisconsin when it did. We bought a shirt or a sweatshirt, I can't remember exactly what it was, for my daughter. And just like my parents before me and so on, when we couldn't find a box, well, we put it in a cereal box, and then we wrapped it up. And on Christmas Eve, when we traditionally do our big gift opening, my daughter, who was a toddler at the time, my son was an infant, my daughter was a toddler, she rips open the wrapping paper, and she sees the cereal, and she rejoices. She has her own box of cereal. Oh, she is so excited about this box of cereal. Now you got to understand, guys, this wasn't a fun box of cereal. This wasn't Lucky Charms or Cocoa Puffs. It wasn't even Fruit Loops. It was Frosted Shredded Mini Wheat. But she was ecstatic. In fact, it took us a little bit to kind of calm down and say, oh, no, there's something else in the box. You got to open the box. I remember that moment. It was such a clear memory of mine. And I think the reason that it's such a clear memory of mine is because it was at that time that I realized something. I realized something about myself. I realized that I had changed. Now, it wasn't that I didn't realize I was changing. I mean, that's a part of life. That's a part of living. And especially if you have kids, you recognize that things are going on, that you are changing even as a person. Your perspective is changing. But I like to say it was kind of like one of those moments. Like, have you ever been on a walk where you start walking and you're talking or chatting, and then all of a sudden you turn around and you look behind you and you go, wow, I didn't realize I had walked so far. It was kind of like that. I've always liked giving gifts, and I've always liked receiving gifts. Who doesn't? But it was at that moment, as my daughter became ecstatic over a box of cereal, that I realized that there was nothing on this planet Earth that you could ever possibly give me that was better than that. That was better than watching my children open gifts. There was nothing, absolutely nothing. Have you ever had a moment like that where you just kind of turned around and looked at the path, whatever path it was that you were on, and you realized, wow, I've really made some moves. I've really gone a lot further than I anticipated. A lot of times it's things that would make you proud. All of a sudden, all those things that you were so worried about so long ago seem so small after some time has passed. Some of those worries, some of those concerns. Maybe there's other things in your life that now that you look back at it, you go, wow, I've really moved quite a ways away. And in that respect, you've entered into a life as a new normal, you might say. You're returning, in a sense, to a new normal. And I know when I say that, our minds immediately jump to COVID-19, because COVID-19 has so hijacked our conversation that it's hard to have any conversation that doesn't somehow feature it. But the reality is that we're talking about life. We're talking about living. This is so much more and greater and deeper than just a virus. Sometimes when we look back, we're proud, it's true. But then there are those other times when we look back on this path that we've been on, this walk of life that we've had, and we realize that maybe some of the choices that we've made are not necessarily the kind of things that we would or should be proud of. We've convinced ourselves that we're working so hard to provide for our family so that our family can be better off than what we had, only to realize that our family misses us because we're never there. We're always busy. We've always got other things going on. Maybe even as you sit here tonight in a pew, you remember a time when you said to yourself, there's nothing that's going to come between me and my Lord. But then life hits and stuff comes up. And you got one excuse after the other, and the next thing you know, it's been weeks, or it's been months, or maybe even years. We ventured down this path. It wasn't fast, but we didn't realize quite how far things had gotten. And then when we take a moment to reflect and to look back, we're met with shame, maybe even some guilt. As we come together this evening to celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all too often when we talk about change, we only talk about the fact that Christ our Lord went to the cross, that he died for your sake, for your salvation, that he rose again on Easter morning and ascended into heaven. All too often, the Christmas story gets overwhelmed by Easter and Good Friday. And it's true, Easter and Good Friday are truly the pinnacle of the church year. But let us not do a disservice to Christmas. Let us not do a disservice to the story of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, a story filled with changes. Even though they might seem like small changes, even though they might seem like insignificant changes, they are huge, monstrous changes in the world. As God's divine hand is at work, moving and adjusting things. Even as our story starts, the first tax while Quirinius was governor. It's such a simple thing, such a minor thing, that here people are having to go places to be registered so that there can be a census taken. And yes, so that they can have taxes that are collected. The first. We know that this carried on. In fact, they did it in Rome every 14 years. Even later in the Gospels, they will talk about this tax. But this is the first. This is the first time that the empire, the Roman Empire, has felt comfortable enough to do registration, to do a census, to allow people to move around in such a way as they are doing right now. It's a minor thing. We might even just chalk it up to some random thing that just happened to be there, but it's not. God's divine hand is at work. Jesus is coming, but only at the right time, only at the perfect time. And so it is that Mary is betrothed to Joseph, and they have to travel to Bethlehem. I wonder if they used a donkey or if Mary just walked the whole way. Again, it might seem so insignificant. Quite frankly, it might be. Both seem pretty miserable to me. Mary, very, very pregnant, walking or riding on a donkey all the way to Bethlehem. It couldn't have been comfortable, this lowly couple. And then they get there. And what do they find? They find another change, another thing that was not necessarily expected. Bethlehem had not anticipated this influx of people due to the registration, due to the census. The text tells us that there was no room for them in the inn, and that word is a little misleading. That word there, no room for them in the inn, it could be inn. It could mean just a guest room in like an inn or a hotel, but it also could mean a guest room at somebody's house. It is also very possible that Joseph, having family in Bethlehem, went to some house in Bethlehem that he knew. But Mary and Joseph weren't exactly the guest of honor. And so all the guest rooms would have been taken. You see, the way they used to build houses in this day, it was almost a two-story model. The upper rooms were the ones where they would gather together all too often, or they had sleeping arrangements. And then the bottom layer was a lot of times, I know this is going to sound funny, but where the kitchen was, but also where the animals would come in at night if it got chilly at night. Bethlehem in particular had a lot of caves, and so they would actually build the house on top of the caves. The cave below was the place for the animals. And so there, Mary and Joseph in the lower part with the animals. And the time came. The moment was perfect for Jesus to be born. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God had come. Not a God, not one of many gods, the God. All there is and was and ever shall be was born to two lowly parents in a place set aside for animals. And they laid the child in a feeding trough. Lots and lots of changes a new normal was being created and done through the very working of God. And so it was that no one would even notice. Had God himself not sent angels to alert shepherds on high to come and rejoice and celebrate at the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ? And the changes that started that day are the changes that continue to this day. Changes that still continue even in our world, even in our life. Coming to the font with a little bit of water and the very word of God, the Holy Spirit works and creates anew. A new creation connected with Jesus Christ. A new creation through the power of the Holy Spirit that creates and sustains faith. Through the sacrament of the altar, you receive Christ's true body and blood in, with, and under bread and wine. Christ our Lord comes to you in a way that you can feel, you can touch, you can smell, you can sense. Our Lord is present. Our Lord continues to call to you. As we venture out on this path of our lives, we will make mistakes. We have made mistakes. But regardless of where you are in your path, in your journey, as you reflect, as you turn around and see all the places that you've been, our Lord is calling to you. He is calling to you tonight. He's not calling to hold sins of old over your head. He's not calling on you to beat you over the head with your past and previous mistakes, but he is calling you to a life of repentance, a life of forgiveness, a life of salvation given through Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Lord who is born by lowly parents in a lowly place and placed in a lowly manger. Our Lord, who changed everything, and all those changes started with his birth. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.